Truth Discovered, compiled by Brother Colin and Sister Valerie Edwards of Newbury, Birmingham, UK. Newbury, UK. Chapter 17. Submitted by Brother Harry Whittaker of Lichfield, UK. A white man and a dream. That hot, hot afternoon in New Amsterdam, Guyana, two of us had set ourselves the task of visiting every house in that remote cluster of houses on the other side of the Black Dam. Yes, it was hot, tiring work, of course. For although only 3 miles from the Atlantic seaboard, it was only 4 degrees of latitude from the equator. Even my Indian colleague, slim as a clothes prop and born and bred in this pressure cooker humidity, was wilting. Strange, but he felt it more than I did. A thing I could hardly understand. But he was keen, a real enthusiast. We broke off for a while to rest for a minute under a shady tree and share impressions about the folks we'd talked to. He pointed to a pathetic little hut at the very end of our area. An African woman lives there. Her name's Bellona Burkett. She's bringing up 3 grandchildren besides coping with that man of hers. One of the huskiest characters in the place. I'm impressed with her, but I couldn't get her to talk, which was unusual, for this lad had a persuasive way with him. Okay, I said, I'll look in on her, but it must be next time I come this way. The promise was not forgotten, but it was a few weeks before a good opportunity arose. When I did call at that little hut, it was a pleasant surprise indeed to find myself given a warm and even eager welcome. My Bible instruction was received with what seemed to be gladness and real interest, and so it was each time I called thereafter. It was really most encouraging to have such a response to the message. This eagerness was especially evident when the subject of baptism came up, and one day she told me why this was. She'd had a dream in which she saw a white man take her by the arm and lead her to the Berbice River. Come, he was saying, baptism, you must be baptized. So my young Indian friend wasn't given serious attention, but as soon as she set eyes on my white skin and heard me mention baptism, she was convinced that this was the work of God. Her common law husband also began to show interest, much to my surprise, for he was a wild and intemperate fellow, but we became good friends. Time and again they asked about their own baptism. But I held off. No, I shall not consider baptising you two until you're properly married. They didn't know what to do about this, so would I fix it? Yes, I would, and this was how. My next visit to the nearby ecclesia was on Christmas Day. I walked up to their door in my car and took them, dressed in their very best, to the only man in that town legally qualified to perform marriages, a Methodist parson. He was a personal friend of mine, performed the ceremony with me as a witness. And then we drove the mile-wide river and appropriated a night watchman's hut at the wharf. The small group of local believers were waiting for us, and there Bellona and Joe were baptised. After this, we adjourned to the unpretentious little place that served as a meeting room and held a breaking of bread service. There was joy and gladness at the new birth of these new believers on Christmas Day. Service concluded, a cover was removed from the side table, and there was a large and rich Christmas-wedding-birthday cake. Thus, within a couple of hours, a marriage, 2 baptisms, the right-handed fellowship, a breaking of bread and a Christmas party. What a day for Bellona and Joe to remember. A year or more later, Bellona became very ill. The local hospital, a dreadful place, was unable to provide the needful operation, so she was moved to the city hospital, which was a little better. Here I was told, blood bank empty, we need 3 pints of blood, no operation. I forthwith provided a pint of mine, O group, and hustled round to find other volunteers. The operation was completely successful, and Bellona was soon home, glad to leave behind the hospital blankets. Word went round the neighbours that she now had white man's blood in her veins. and they kept vigilant watch to see how long it would be before she turned white. They'd never read Acts 17 verse 26, which says, "And he made of one every nation of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation." In the course of one of my occasional visits to that town, Sister Bellona said to me after our Sunday morning meeting, "Brother Harry, will you come to my house, that little hut tonight, for a Bible meeting? You will, won't you?" "Bellona, I'm sorry, I can't. I've already promised to take a meeting at Edinburgh." This Edinburgh was a small village 2 miles away. But Bellona's crestfallen look tore me in two. "Oh, but I've already asked all the neighbours," she wailed. "All right then," I improvised. "I'll bring my wife round to your place. She'll take the meeting at your house and I'll come and collect her after I'm through at Edinburgh." So that's what we did. And when I got back to that little hut in pitch darkness, what a sight met my eyes. The little place was illuminated by a contrivance I hadn't seen before. On the small rough table lay a bottle on its side with a cup full of kerosene in it. A twisted bit of string led from the kerosene to the bottle's neck, and there it burned with a smoky flame. Close by sat my wife on the only chair Bellona possessed, and thanks to good eyesight was able to read from her Bible and explain. All around the floor sat women listening to the words of truth. Every other bit of space was filled with sleeping children sprawled in all directions. "I enjoyed that," said my wife as the car rolled away into the darkness. Years later, and thousands of miles separated us, Bellona now had only her granddaughter Carol with her, and she had become a lovely teenager and a sister in Christ. A short letter written by Carol left a faint, indefinable impression of hardship, but made no effort to enlist or harness our sympathy. "Shame on us for forgetting these facts," my wife commented. I nodded and organised a money order to one of the brethren. "See that Sister Bellona has this in cash." A month or two later, there came another letter telling us how these two had become utterly, utterly destitute. "Don't worry, Grandma, we'll be all right. The Lord will take care of us." And that very day, the brother walked in with the money in his hand.